Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Are our politicians puppets? And if so, does it really matter? That's what my guest is going to be talking about on the show today. I want to remind you all that on my last show, we talked about how the media can create stories which are believed by the public, sometimes for decades. They can do it for whatever reasons they want, whether it's for delegitimizing its competition and securing and protecting its advertising revenue, or for whatever other agenda they might have. Today on the show, we're going to be looking at something else that we think we see and understand, but under more scrutiny, we see yet another manipulation, and that is our politicians and political leaders. The other day, I asked you all to go to my public Facebook page. You'll see me. I'm wearing a red dress. That's how you know it's the right one to go to. Look for Tamar Yona on Facebook. I'm wearing a red dress. That's my public page. Go there. If you like, give me a like as well. And I posted a video. You have to scroll down a little bit because I posted something since then. But you're going to see a video, and it's going to be talking about where are my notes? It's going to be talking about Cortez. I can't read. Ocasio-Cortez. And she is basically, according to this video and the presenter, an actress. And that the people that the Democratic Party especially are putting up into offices and into these positions are essentially, many of them are just actors and actresses with a real puppeteer behind them, someone else who's pulling the strings. Now, we all know that it happens on the Republican side as well, and it happens everywhere in the world. But we're going to take a closer look at this and exactly try to understand exactly what's happening, because we have a case similar to that here in Israel with, I believe, Benny Gantz. I'm going to tell you why later. Join me in the chat room. It's the orange button on our player or homepage. We'll be right back.
Always challenging the status quo. Hello, I'm Rod Bryant on Beyond the Matrix here at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. I want to encourage you to listen each week, every Wednesday at the same time, for an amazing show that will challenge you, inform you, and inspire. News, views, and wisdom for the nations here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Don't forget, Beyond the Matrix every week, Wednesday, here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
All right, we are back here at the Tamar Yona Show on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com, and we are talking about, are our politicians puppets? And if so, does it really matter? What are the techniques that are used in order to get people elected? There are very sly methods, and most of the public is not privy to it, but we're going to learn a little bit more about that today. Our guest is, again, Dr. Francisco Gil White, or Professor Francisco Gil White. He's a professor at Etam University in Mexico City today. His website is called Historical and Investigative Research, and it was created to make important documentation available to the general public. You can visit his website at hirhome.com. That's hirhome.com for historical and investigative research. Welcome to the show, Professor Francisco Gil White.
Thanks for having me again, Tamar. Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure on our end as well. All right. So yesterday we talked about, on the last show, we talked about how the media can create stories, rewrite history. These things are believed by the public sometimes for decades. They can do it for whatever reasons they want, whether it's delegitimizing their competition or securing and protecting its advertising revenue or for whatever agendas that they might have. But today we're going to be looking at something that most of us think that we see and understand, things that are very above, what's the word, above ground, above whatever. But under more scrutiny, we see yet another manipulation, and that is how our politicians and political leaders are elected, how they're groomed. And I think this will be very interesting, especially since the United States is starting now to go into their next elections, and Israel as well. So where would you like to start?
Wherever you want.
So all right. So there is a place actually I want to start. And that is that I told people yesterday, and I think I mentioned it to you as well, that there is a video that I posted on my Facebook page where it shows that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and how she and others are essentially actors or actresses groomed for their role. And they are basically puppets with a puppeteer behind them. And the interesting thing is that if this indeed is the case, then whether their puppets go sour, let's say they do something wrong, they get out, they're just replaced with another puppet. And there's no term limitation for the puppeteers, because whoever's behind these so-called politicians, this person can just keep running somebody else, but he's still pulling the strings. And again, there's no limitation. There's no term limitation on him or her. So do you believe all of this? Did you see the video that I put up, and what is your opinion of it?
Yeah, so I watched that video, and it's interesting because the guy, one of the things he was complaining about was that the team behind AOC, as they call her, was not even hiding it. He said it over and over again. They're not even hiding this. They're doing it in the open, blah, blah, blah. And I kept thinking, well, yeah, they're doing it in the open, because how is this? It's inoffensive. I mean, so these are people who are training candidates, feeding them lines, if you will, becoming a team for the candidate to generate positions and legislation and so on and so forth. And from a certain point of view, my reaction is, who cares? So let's assume that we have a functioning democracy in the United States. So under that assumption, you have two real parties that are in fact real competitors and have real differences on issues of policy, on different issues of policy. If all of that is true, who cares whether the candidate is the actual genius or just the, let us say, the hood ornament for a giant team that is generating policy positions? What matters in the end are those policy positions and whether people want them or not. So they're either voting for the candidate because they have those positions and are making those promises, or they're voting for the competitor who's making a different set of promises. Who the actual candidate is seems to me rather irrelevant. What matters is that there be a real competition in the actual policy orientation of the competing candidates, or the competing teams, if you want to call them that.
So I'm going to bring to you a reason why I think it's important that these people are not actors or actresses. And that is because if somebody is voting for Ocasio-Cortez and they say, wow, she's a Latino, she's going to represent me, or she's young and she's going to represent me and my interests. But if she's really controlled by somebody else and she's just a sheep in a wolf in sheep's clothing, then I think that she's going to be representing me, because that's what I see. That's the clothing that this politician is wearing. That's the role the look that they're giving, and yet the person behind her may not have any interest at all for Latinos and for the young people, and that's why this is wrong.
Well, I mean, so if there is a real political market and different positions are in fact competing in that market, and one of the candidates that is fielded and wins does not keep to his or her promises, then people can just elect somebody else on the next opportunity.
Yeah, but then it's too late. Because they're stuck with her for 4 years, and she can be doing a lot of damage in 4 years. We saw what Obama did in 8 years, in two terms, how he did fundamentally change America.
My position is, you
have to... I've lost you. I don't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah. So my position is, you face this risk, regardless of whether the candidate is, let us say, the real deal, or whether the candidate is a front for a larger team. You're facing this risk no matter what. A candidate you elect might not fulfill the promises that they make, regardless of who's behind them, whether it's them or a team. You're always facing the risk that they may not keep to their campaign promises. So, but if you have a
real, I'm losing you once more.
But if you have a real market, that is to say, if it's a real political market with real competitors in it, with parties that really are not owned by the same interest, then if you don't like what a candidate did, you can try to put somebody else into office. The real problem, in my opinion, is not that teams may be supporting candidates. I mean, that what else is a political party if not that? We've had that for a long time. The real concern, from my point of view, is when there is no competition in the market. That's the real problem, and I think that's the situation we're actually in the United States and in Israel. So voters are told that Obama is supposedly very different from Trump. You just said, look at all the damage that Obama did. The damage that Obama did was a continuation of the damage that Bush did, which continued the damage that Clinton did, which itself was more of the same of what Daddy Bush did, and so on and so forth. And the same thing happens in Israel. So every single time that Netanyahu has run for office, I believe it's been three times now, his platform is opposition to the Oslo process. And once he gets elected, as soon as he sits in the prime minister's chair, he furthers that process even faster than the so-called leftists. There is no real difference, and that's the problem. There is no real difference in policy.
Okay, I want to get back for a moment to Obama and Bush. And that is that you're saying that he carried on the same policies that W did, Bush W, and the senior Bush, etc. And I would agree with you on that. There's some foreign policies that they have done so. But he himself has done things that Bush did not do. We saw a huge change take place with this racism thing. We didn't hear about racism during Bush's time, but that was something that Barack Hussein Obama brought in, and the whole idea of America apologizing for its colonization and apologizing to the world for being who it is, that was not under President Bush. There is a difference. When people come into office, yes, there may be certain scripts that they stick to and keep, but there's a lot of other things, depending upon who the person is, that they can bring to the table, whether it's positive or negative. We saw huge negative things to divide America much more so than at any other time, maybe since the Civil War.
So you don't believe that Trump is doing that too, in his own way?
I do not believe that Trump is dividing the nation. I think that the left is dividing the nation. I think that I believe, and I could be wrong, but I believe that Trump is trying to make America great again in his eyes. He's doing it his way, and he's trying to keep things together. I think it's very difficult for him to try to rule, to try to get anything done when he's got so much opposition to himself. So I don't think that he's trying to divide the country. I think he's trying to...
What would you say are the main policy differences between Trump and Obama?
Obama was apology tour, and Trump is respect us, bring businesses back to America, America first. And with Obama, it wasn't America first. It was everybody else first, it seemed to me. But we have to stop here. Think about it during the break. You can challenge me when we get back. We are going to be back and talk more about this. If you'd like to call in and join us in on the conversation with a comment, with a question, feel free to do so. Our numbers are on our homepage, and I will post them in the chat room as well. We'll be right back.
Shalom, everybody. Making a difference often takes just one moment and one person at a time. I am Orly Benny Davis, your show host on Israel News Talk Radios from Jerusalem with love. You'll be hearing people talking about politics, religion, social issues, and making a better tomorrow. Join me, Orly Benny Davis, for God and Country from Jerusalem with love.
Wednesdays on Israel News Talk Radio.
All right, we are back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com, and the topic of the day is, are our politicians puppets? And if so, does it really matter? I say it does matter, but before we go in and have our guest, Dr. Francisco Gil White, challenge me on what I said in the last segment. We're going to go to a caller, and I want to remind you all that you can call in. Our numbers are on our homepage at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Let's go now to Mark in Florida. Shalom, Mark.
Hey, shalom, Tamar. Excellent topic tonight. I was blown away by the YouTube video, and I definitely indeed do believe that everyone is a puppet, even President Trump. But luckily, he's one of the good guys that's taken down the deep state.
Okay. Do you have a question for our guest?
I was just wondering what he believes, who are the puppet masters. I believe that it's, you know, that they had the cabal of the Jewish mafia, the Khazarians. They also have the Bush senior who made a deal with Trump. And also, they also have the Obama and Clinton factions, and now the new world order is the BRICS nations: Brazil, Russia, India, China, South America. I was just curious what your guests had to say.
All right, stay on the line with us just for a moment, Dr. Francisco Gil White. Do you want him to stay on with you? Do you want to ask him any questions, or do you want him to hang up and you'll answer while he's offline?
No, you can hang up and I'll answer.
Okay. Thank you for your call, Mark. Appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
So thank you for the question. I think that there's a lot of noise that's generated by presenting all kinds of different versions of who's in control. So some of those were presented by your caller. And Tamar, you were asking me what are the tactics that they use to confuse us? And of course, one of those tactics is the creation of different brands, right? So there's always going to be an opposition. So it's important for them to generate different brands so that people that are coming from different walks of life and have different ideologies can attach to and consume those different political brands and also those different stories, those different conspiracy theory stories that will therefore splinter the theoretical market and confuse people with all kinds of alternative ideas about what's going on.
Right, so many believe that it's the Jews.
For example, your caller mentioned the Khazarian.
Right.
That's obviously ridiculous, right?
I'm losing you again.
The accusation that there is a large-scale Jewish conspiracy was roundly refuted by World War II when the Jews were exterminated by the German Nazis, right? But these ideas persist because they're being constantly pushed, so they never really die, no matter what happens. So what is one of the tactics that they use? Well, they produce Obama and they produce Trump. And they look, one looks like a Democrat, the other looks like a new kind of Republican. One looks left, the other one looks right. They're producing different brands for people to consume. This is not a new idea. So in the middle of the 19th century, political theorist by the name Maurice Joly, very important political theorist, wrote a book called Dialogue in Hell Between Machiavelli and Montesquieu. And in that book, Joly explained how a central political monopoly could pretend to be a democracy and keep everybody engaged in the political game while doing exactly what they wanted. And the way to do that, Jordi explained, was first of all, to have a secret service. This is the most important requirement, because unless you can do things, unless you can spend a lot of money in secret, the people's money in secret, you won't be able to control the press. And controlling the press is very important, because once you control the press, you can create reality, as we were saying in the show yesterday. And once you can control reality, you can also use your Secret Service to take over the various political parties, the various civil society movements, etc. And you can put your own people to lead each one of those. But you don't produce an overt monopoly. You never do that. In other words, you're always generating different kinds of brands, one for the socialists, one for the centrist leftists, one for the libertarians, one for the more hard right people, and so on and so forth. For every taste and every inclination, you generate a particular organization, a particular newspaper, a radio show, a movement, etc. And each of those is led by people that are part of your clandestine system. Okay, so this was explained by Maurice Joly, the middle of the 19th century. And what's really interesting about what Maurice Joly was explaining is that it turns out his work was not really theoretical, although he presented it that way. He presented it as a philosophical dialogue between Machiavelli and Montesquieu, because it was dangerous for him to say, look, this is what Napoleon III is already doing, right? Because if he did that, Napoleon III might put him in prison. In fact, Napoleon III did put him in prison because his secret police found out that he was the author, even though he had published it anonymously. And they caught him when he published the book in Belgium and he was smuggling it into France. And they caught him in the act of smuggling into France and, of course, did put him in jail. And they confiscated all of the copies of this book so that nobody could read and understand how Napoleon III had produced what appeared to be a liberal system, but was in fact carefully and minutely controlled by his vast secret police, right? So this is, in my view, what they're doing again today. And we saw yesterday in the show we had yesterday that there's very good evidence that as far back as 1938, the people who run the U.S. system already had a very strong control over the entire U.S. media. Now, if they had that kind of control, and if, as I also told you, the people who were directing this, let us say the technicians, the technocrats who were directing this, were also being funded to investigate psychological warfare, and if, as I also told you, they were folded into U.S. intelligence programs during the war and after the war, then there's every reason to believe that the entire democratic sort of, let us say, theater that we see every day in the United States, where, you know, candidates run for office and people vote and you get this alternation of parties. Sometimes it's the Democratic Party, other times it's the Republican Party. All of that is just a show. And that's what's really worrisome, not the fact that some candidates have teams behind them. To me, that sounds really inoffensive. What is really problematic is that the different teams are not really competing with each other. They're just brands produced by a covert monopoly to give the impression that there's something to choose, when in reality, they're always doing the same thing, which is moving the system in the direction of the destruction of Western liberties.
Okay, so I want to ask you a question. It may be a stupid question in your eyes, but if I'm thinking it, maybe others are as well. So I want to ask it for everybody. And that is that these people that are running behind the scenes, that have the Secret Service, that are using these tactics of making many different varieties, one, you know, one for these type of people, one for that, but it's really the same people that are behind all of them. Who are these people? Would you say, and is it defined as more left-wing, communistic type people, or is it more right-wing, Republican-ish, God-fearing people? Where would you, who is it?
Oh, well, these people don't have those kinds of ideological differences. Their only real ideology is power. So they'd be very happy with a communist system, just as they're happy with a fascistic system. The point is, they don't want people to have the liberties they now still enjoy to a certain extent. I believe their current ideal system is something that looks a lot like China. That is to say, you must remember that some years ago, a few decades ago, when China began liberalizing its economy, everybody, or let's say a good number of people in the punditocracy, were predicting that the liberalization of the Chinese economy would carry with it political consequences, because it was argued you can't have a free market without of goods, without also eventually producing a free political market, a free media market, and so on and so forth, because people will demand it. This was and the political system won't be able to resist it. This was the argument. And it was the argument for engaging with China and encouraging these liberal reforms in the economy and so on and so forth. Well, now we know that that's not true. It's not necessarily true that if you free up the economy, you will be freeing up the entire system. In fact, recently China has become more and more authoritarian, even as the economy has become more and more liberal. So what they have is a fascistic political system of totalitarian control, except for the economic sphere, where they have produced a tremendous economic growth, right? So I think that's the sort of the ideal that the ideal system these people now would like to have is a relatively free economy, which is incredibly productive, but no political freedoms.
Okay, and I'm going to ask you more about that, because we're going to a break right now, but I want to ask you about, you're saying that these people, all they want is power, and they want to see the world more like a China, communistic, but then that puts limitations on the amount of wealth.
I didn't say communistic.
Okay, so we'll go into more into that. You'll explain more then when we get back. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Shai Ben-Tekoa, and each week I'll be webcasting to you from Judea, origin of the word Jew, a people besieged and beleaguered in every generation. Nazi Germany's but a memory, but in its place the world invented the phantom Palestinians as this generation's internationally authorized Jew killers. Tune in for a different slant on life in Israel, Phantom Nation, every Monday.
Hi, I'm Rabbi David Aaron. The soul basics are the most profound, the most essential, and yet often the most neglected in our education. Join me for Soul Talk on Israel's News Talk Radio and discover the secrets to love, spiritual growth, and personal power.
We are back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on Israel News Talk Radio. Are our politicians puppets? And if so, does it really matter? And how does it all work? Our guest today is Dr. Francisco Gil White, and he is talking to us about how the world works behind the scenes. And he's saying that what we're seeing are just, it's just dress, but who's underneath the clothes, this is what's important. So when we were going to the last part of the segment, Francisco, we were talking about how the people who have the power, are they Democrats? Are they Republicans? Are they communists? Are they God-fearing people? And your answer was?
Well, they're neither Democrats nor Republicans. And of course, they're both. They'll put on these clothes, as you say. Some of them will wear the Republican uniform, others will wear the Democratic uniform. But in reality, they have the exact same ideology. In the United States, policy is made in some very important think tanks, the most important of which is the Council on Foreign Relations. And what's striking about these policy think tanks is that they're almost religiously bipartisan. So you'll find there, at the Council on Foreign Relations, you will find senior people from both the Democratic and Republican parties. You will find former office holders from both the Democratic and Republican parties. And you will also find in incubation at the CFR, the people who will be office holders in future Democratic and Republican administrations. So, I mean, there's no real competition going on. That's just to show these people belong to the same elite, power elite system. And
okay, so to keep everything very simple for our listeners, so these people who are in the CFR and other places as well, it's not just the CFR, you've got other groups around the world and internationally, etc., that are all vying for power. Where does this come in on the international scene? Because we see that just like when they want Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez to stay on script, because when she goes off script, when she's not reading from a teleprompter, she says silly things that don't make sense. And the same thing for, by the way, someone else who's been groomed into the position to try to oust Bibi here in Israel, and that is Benny Gantz. The same thing. His handlers do not let him give interviews in the media because they can't script it for him. You know, if somebody just sticks a mic in his face while he's walking from one building to another, he's not supposed to talk to them, because every time he opens his mouth, he puts his foot in it when he's not reading from a teleprompter. So tell us more about that.
Well, but that doesn't mean that he would be any better or worse in terms of policy than Netanyahu once he got elected. And that's my point. So regardless of whether these people can do it on their own, regardless of whether they can walk on stage and pull it off on their own the way Netanyahu does, because Netanyahu is a fantastic actor, right? So regardless of whether you're an actor of that caliber and you can do it by yourself or not, the question is still whether the team behind you or you yourself will do anything to change policy. So people in Israel, it's amazing, they still think they have a choice. Every time they voted for the right, thinking that the right would do something about the Oslo process, guess what? They did do something about it. They moved it forward faster, right? So there's no such thing as a real opposition in Israel to the general direction in which the country has been going.
I want to stop you there, because since Trump got into office, the Oslo has been slowed down. Even Bibi has gone back on his saying that he wants a Palestinian state. Now he's saying no. And Oslo has been completely stopped.
Well, I think that's sort of what they do. So you were asking me, how do they manipulate people? They manipulate people with these kinds of things. So they make them think, oh, look, Oslo is now slowing down. No, those are cosmetic moves. Oslo is not the final agreement. Oslo is the infiltration of PLO Fatah into the state of Israel, gradually growing in power inside the Jewish state. That's what Oslo is. The final agreement is a cosmetic move. It's neither here nor there. What Israelis haven't been told is that PLO Fatah was created by the German Nazis. What Israelis haven't been told is that PLO Fatah is the creator of the state of Iran, Ayatollah Khomeini's Iran, the state that promises to exterminate the Israeli Jews. That is not part of the conversation. Netanyahu's not saying it. Nobody's saying it. So it, given that people are not talking about this, which is obviously what they should be talking about, because what is an organization spawned by the German Nazis and creator of the Iranian jihadi state doing inside the Jewish state?
Okay, and who created the Nazis, according to you?
Oh, well, that's been very carefully documented by Edwin Black in his book, War Against the Weak. The Nazis are an outgrowth of the a big American eugenics movement, which was led by people like the Rockefellers, the Harrimans, the Carnegies, Ford, and so forth, the DuPonts, and so forth. And these are the same people. Remember, we were talking about yesterday in the show that the Rockefellers and their allies are the ones who took control over the press. And if you look at what they were doing with the U.S. government right before World War II and during World War II, it's clear they had taken over the government as well. There's testimony from high-ranked people in the CIA after the war talking to Nelson Rockefeller's biographer, saying that David Rockefeller was essentially running the CIA through Alan Dulles, right? So these people essentially swallowed the American government. And these are the people that were running the American eugenics movement that funded the German Nazi Party and created the German eugenics movement that produced the Third Reich.
So are you saying that Hitler was listening to the Rockefellers?
Oh, Hitler is one of these hood ornaments. He's not important at all. The entire history of World War II that people learn in school is completely distorted.
So then are you saying that the Rockefellers were the ones that wanted the Jews put in ovens?
Absolutely. That's exactly what I'm saying. And I'm also saying that if they hadn't found Hitler to be, the useful actor on the stage, they would have found somebody else.
So the whole sitting down and thinking up the final solution that took place in Germany, you're saying that was masterminded by Rockefeller and people that are in the CFR, the Carnegies, the Fords? That's what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying. I couldn't make it any clearer.
Why don't you make it clearer for us?
Well, I mean, so I guess making it clear would mean giving you more historical context. You have to remember the Rockefeller family and people at that level were running since the late 19th century gigantic billionaire monopolies. And the last thing they wanted was the growth of democracy to take power away from them. So they began something that most people don't know when they learn or that they never learn when they're going through their American history courses.
We have 2 minutes left to the show, and I want you to tie in where the Jews come in on this. Why would Rockefeller, Carnegie, Ford, etc., want to go after the Jews?
Oh, that's the question you want to answer. Okay, so as I was saying, these people don't really enjoy the idea of democratic progress because it means that they become less powerful. It just so happens that the idea of democratic progress is Jewish inheritance, right? So all of the progressive ideas about the equality of all men and freedom to dissent and so forth, that all comes from Jewish thought. And this can actually be identified very clearly because Moses Maimonides is the great rationalist thinker who put the European intellectuals, who were all priests, on the road to, rationality. Because before that, they were superstitious Platonists. But he turned them into rational Aristotelians.
Remember, you have 1 minute till we go off the air.
Yes, I know that. And the way he did that was by influencing Thomas Aquinas. Thomas Aquinas was a posthumous student of Moses Maimonides, and he became a tremendous influence on all Catholic thinkers. And that, turned the intellectual ship of Europe, it turned it in the direction of rationality, which later produced the Renaissance. Now, the guy who who lit the torch between the Renaissance and the Enlightenment was another very important Jew. His name was Baruch Spinoza. And Baruch Spinoza is the guy who put forward, who translated Maimonides for Christian thinkers and innovated all of these ideas, radical ideas about, you know, republican government, universal suffrage, freedom of thought, freedom of religion, freedom of speech. It's all in Spinoza's work. And he was very influential with all of the Christian thinkers that became leaders of the Enlightenment. So the people who want to destroy our democratic future know that if they want that destruction to be permanent, they have to get rid of the people who are constantly producing ideas that emancipate and free our way of thinking and our institutional structures. And those people are the Jews.
Seems like we end up at this place a lot when we have you on. A lot to chew on, a lot to think about. And unfortunately, we can't go into any more in this right now. The show is over. I want to thank you again for coming on the show. And I want to encourage people, if you want to know more, go to his website at hearhome.com. That's HIRHOME.com. Thank you again, Dr. Francisco Gil White, for being with us.
Always a pleasure, Tamar. Thank you for having me.
Much to chew over. Thank you all for being here. And if you have any comments or questions, feel free to email me at Tamar, T-A-M-A-R, at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. Just click the orange button at the top of the IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com page, log in as yourself or an anonymous guest, and join in on the fun. You'll meet other listeners from all over the world who listen to Israel News Talk Radio, and you can make new friends. Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. It's the closest you can get to being in the studio with us.
We love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candle lighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.